Hello, my name is Steve Brooks. This is an Enterprise Times podcast with Gunter Reiss, VP of Strategy at A10 Networks. Hello, Gunter.
Hello.
You recently commissioned a survey. Could you just tell me a little bit about that in terms of why you did it and what it sought to achieve?
The main reason for the survey was because we at A10, we truly believe that 5G is still pretty nascent, but we wanted to understand what are the mobile operators today thinking? Where are they going with their rollouts? What are the first use cases they really want to deploy with 5G networks? And how far have they come in their analysis in terms of, is it just important to be one of the first ones out there with 5G? And there are obviously certain use cases from an economic perspective, which will drive the justification of that investment. Secondly, how important is security for them as part of that investment in 5G? And the third aspect was really for us, where are they in their decision-making and planning process in terms of GI firewall, GTP firewall, DDoS protection, and consolidated security stack to really get closer to the 1 to 3 milliseconds of latency. We wanted to better understand how is that all going to impact their future plans.
One of the main takeouts is that a lot of companies are looking to plan their 5G networks and therefore looking to replace their GI and GTP firewalls. Why now?
Very good question. The timing is absolutely right because right now, a lot of the networks still run on 4G. We see a large number of operators around the world, obviously, now trying to commercially launch 5G. And 5G is very different. 5G is not just anymore about mobile broadband. It is suddenly allowing the operators to sell new services into the IoT space and into basically every vertical industry. We see that every vertical industry over the next decade will see some kind of disruption. And so 5G is a bigger thing than just technology. It is about governments, it's about IoT, it's about cloud, it's about the vertical industries. And so because there are a lot of use cases which we cannot even imagine today, it is time for the operators to protect their infrastructure as quickly as possible. With the current installed base of GI firewalls and GTP firewalls, they cannot handle the requirements of the connections per second and concurrent connections per second, which now, unfortunately, with 5G will have to be dealt with. So the timing is now to get protected for the development and the rollout of these 5G services.
But if the use cases aren't yet defined, is it better not to be in the bleeding edge and maybe to wait a bit?
As we see the Korean operators, A10 has been chosen by the top three mobile operators in Korea. Korea is the trailblazer today around 5G. They have been the first ones to demonstrate 5G services around the Pyongyang Olympics last year already in March. Now on April 3rd, SKT was the first one to launch the first 5G commercial service. They have demonstrated, all three operators in Korea have upgraded their GI firewall. Why? Because they have been working already over the last couple of years on brand new use cases, which they will now start to roll out over the next couple of years. So they are a very good example of, please do not wait for some of these new use cases because you have to protect your infrastructure right now. Otherwise, you cannot launch a 5G service and protect your customers.
And you're saying that lots of operators are doing this, but it's not just operators impacted by 5G. Who's in the race to win the kind of revenues that are within 5G?
This is a great question you're asking, because as I mentioned earlier, with 4G, it was all about mobile broadband. It was all about the mobile operator trying to provide more bandwidth to the end user, to the consumers. With 5G, it is different. 5G is not just a technology anymore. It involves basically all the vertical industries. We see it in automotive industry, how eager they are to be part of that 5G infrastructure rollouts. We see in the retail industry, smart manufacturing, the smart cities, and so on. So the vertical industry plays a key role. the IoT players, the cloud providers, but of course the government. So who is going to win that race around 5G? It is really the collaboration of all those, including the standardization committees, to work together collaboratively to bring these new services to the market. And again, I go back, for me, Korea is right now that country which has taken the lead where this collaboration seems to work the best right now.
Does it matter the standards aren't yet defined?
Yes and no, because standards are still being developed. We have right now pre-standard 5G deployments out there. And for the foreseeable future, over the next 5 to 7 years, we will see hybrid, non-standalone 5G networks out there. Standalone 5G networks will come over the next years. But again, we foresee a hybrid 5G rollout. So 4G will not go away, that's for sure.
And the A10 firewall stack is a consolidation of things like the security stack, the traffic optimization, etc. And the drivers for that, according to the survey, there's a greater trust and it's a greater cost, and also that you can achieve the low latencies required for some of the use cases. Is there a downside, though?
From our perspective, there is no downside. We actually offer our consolidated security stack, these functions, we offer them also separately in a virtualized form factor. But from our perspective, to get to the low latency of 1 millisecond to 3 milliseconds, which you need for ultra-reliable low latency communication, use cases like autonomous driven cars, remote surgeries are very sync still out there, but remote telemetered 5G surgeries, for example, things of that nature, you do need a more consolidated security stack. We give operators options, but the right choice right now from our perspective is to go with the consolidated security stack.
Is there a chance it might change in the future in terms of actually you separate your traffic so you get your low latency in through a separate route, or do you do diverse routed?
Of course, we are talking at 5G about network slicing, and with network slicing, you get basically your own channel, your own private channel, if you want to say, for your specific application. And that will be instrumental in providing these, almost like in a highway, a faster lane versus a slower lane, with some of machine-to-machine type of communication where latency is not as critical. We have a different pass, we have a different slice, what we will offer. And then, obviously, for the ultra-reliable low-latency communication traffic, we have a separate slice. I think what you will also see from the operators, and this is a big trend, and one of my former bosses, Johan Wieberg, who is the CTO from Vodafone, was talking about it, that the operators are right now trying to flatten the infrastructure. They all want to build basically a more agile, more automated infrastructure end-to-end to provide these low-latency communication environments, and it's from a software perspective much more distributed. And they all want to build the Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Azure kind of cloudification infrastructure with SDN and network function virtualization. They want to deploy a containerized environment. And I think what you see right now the operators are doing to get to these 1 to 3 milliseconds of latency is they have to deploy mobile edge compute. In the U.S., for example, we have American Tower and a few other tower companies. And they own maybe up to 30,000 to 40,000 of these towers. And now imagine that you can just attach a small mobile edge compute and storage capability just on these radio towers right next to the radio base station. From a security perspective, of course, this becomes suddenly your new perimeter where you have to put on a containerized environment your firewall as well on these mobile edge compute devices.
In the report, it talks about A10 firewalls in terms of the GI and GTP firewalls, but it also raises Edge as a security threat and issue. There's no mention of A10 technology in that area. Is there such a thing?
That's a very good observation from you, Steve. Our software, when we talk about GI firewall, for example, in this new distributed mobile infrastructure architecture, you basically can deploy that software which is running in the core network or in a GILAN network. You take that software building block and you distribute it. So you actually can run on a lightweight container, like a type of Kubernetes container. You can run that software as a container in a container as form factor right on the mobile edge compute as well. And that's what you have to do.
There's a piece in the survey that talks about how 5G will improve customer satisfaction, which I get. It also talks about improving customer service. In what way is it looking to improve customer service, do you think?
With 5G, you could imagine the customer service being improved is through some AI technology. Some of the radio base stations having new AI type of ASICs and chipsets, we will have so much more data and intelligence around the traffic and user behaviors, user patterns. So we can then remotely, from an operator perspective, through that intelligence, feed that into a dashboard. So the service as such is better when you see it from a traffic service, guaranteed that SLA as well as with network slicing, as I explained. So that is a service, but also service if you think about from an operator perspective because of all the intelligence what we have to provide better service.
The report highlights the importance of security, specifically DDoS attacks, but there is more avenues of security threats than just DDoS. You've mentioned AI and machine learning. What's the A10's stance towards those security threats, some of which are unknown, of course?
You're right, Steve. There is a large landscape of different security threats. That's why a lot of the threats can be monitored and then resolved through the GI firewall. Any kind of phishing attacks, other attacks. We, obviously, from an A10 perspective, are a leader in the DDoS-specific attacks. That's where we have done a lot of research with our threat intelligence. We know that there are 23 million DDoS weapons out there. So the combination of the GI firewall to take care of the broader threat landscape, and then with our integrated DDoS capabilities to also then detect and mitigate these DDoS attacks, is a bit unique position what A10 can take here.
How are you achieving that? Because you can't just do it within the compute power at the edge, for example. It's just surely not possible in terms of the volume of data.
You can, because A10 is known. Our capabilities are totally distributed. And so, yes, you have a lot of intake from traffic on the edge, but you also have a lot of attacks, massive attacks, coming through the internet. So the attack landscape has actually three vectors. It's from the internet. It's from the peering point. That's why you need the GTP firewall. And then it comes from the, obviously, from the radio access network, from the IoT endpoints and the devices, all the way down to then the mobile edge. But the mobile edge, as such, you leverage, as you correctly pointed out, you leverage a distributed intelligence and distributed processing capabilities to do that. The A10 is known for its hyperscale capabilities. That's why, again, going back to Korea, but also Japan, also the Middle East, we have more than 40, 50 projects right now ongoing globally, where the big issue is connections per second and concurrent connections per second. And this is where we are the leader in that space.
What about the hypothetical or otherwise Huawei or other vendor threat?
Well, I'm a firm believer that, number one, you need end-to-end security protection. As I mentioned before, I think Europe is right now caught in between a political crossfire between the US and China. From my perspective, it is every nation's responsibility to make their own decisions on who they want to partner with, who they want to use as the technology provider for their 5G infrastructure. But what is critical is that a diverse supply chain from many vendors is going to be leveraged for that. It raises a bigger question around, of course, national security and security as such. But as I have been quoted before, I truly believe the security question is not going to be addressed just by one supplier. The security question is much bigger and has to be addressed through collaboration between the standardization committees like ETSI, like the local government, the diverse supplier chain from the Ericssons, Nokias, Huawei's, Samsung's, and so on, as well all the way to the vertical industries. And so that collaboration as such is really critical for me to put standards in place around security, which then have to be deployed and monitored and validated.
You're talking right about almost the end of globalization in the sense that if national governments want to secure their own 5G, they need to carefully consider which suppliers or which nation suppliers they use. That means you're probably heading for regionalization rather than isolationism on that supply chain anyway. Is there a risk that there are going to be winners and the losers? Because we're not just talking about the telcos. We're not just talking about the security vendors. We're also then talking about the industries beneath that who are taking advantage of 5G. And if an industry can get advantage because the technology in one region is better than another, will we end up with winners?
From my perspective, we will end up with winners and losers. That's why I think it is such a big decision for so many countries right now to determine who are their 5G partners. It's not anymore just a technology question. It is a bigger question because, as I mentioned before, when we look at a survey by Ericsson and RZD Little back in 2018, where it says that for the ICT players, information communication technology players, by 2026, 5G represents a $1.3 trillion economic opportunity. That's globally, but that is massive, and it plays into every single nation's choices of who are the partners they are going to work with. Back to Korea, they made their initial decisions on partnerships, on collaboration with their vertical industries, with their government, and they are moving forward. Some countries will have first movers advantage. It was also quoted back in Germany that Europe will run behind because of spectrum license awards being delayed and also some of the supplier decisions which have to be made in each of the country, including here in the UK.
Who are going to be the winners then? Do you see that being as more Far East?
Initially, that's what it looks like. Also, the Middle East is heavily investing already right now. I see the US being investing heavily, and I think Europe really needs to step it up.
The survey talks about disruption across industries. And there's been a lot of talk around manufacturing and things like that being disrupted and automobiles being disrupted through 5G. It also talks about cloud services. Can you just explain a bit more about what that meant? Because are you talking business or are you talking end-user cloud services at this point?
Cloud services was something where I was initially also surprised that it was so high up just behind the automotive industry, just above retail. Cloud services is something what we see with the Yahoos, the Netflixes, even, I don't know if you guys have over here in the UK, DoorDash. Some of these cloud services who see an opportunity with 5G to broaden their reach and to get even closer to the consumers. It's not always just about 5G. I think it's this aspect also through some AI and machine learning capabilities, you just get more intelligence and more data, and that allows you to then be more targeted in your services to those consumers and customers.
Or create new services that haven't existed before.
Or create new services, exactly. That's exactly right.
Was there anything surprising in the survey?
For me, surprising was healthcare, since I truly believe that with 5G, and maybe that is one of the areas we will see some new use cases which we haven't imagined right now. Maybe even companies like Apple are trying to build that out. I was just blown away, and it was probably one of my best days in my entire career to sit back at Mobile World Congress with 400 other attendees in a conference room and watching the first 5G telementored surgery where a professor from Barcelona University Hospital was basically in front of us in real time guiding one of his colleagues at Barcelona Hospital incision at a colon cancer surgery. It was using a 5G base station from Vodafone. There was no stuttering. The picture quality was 4K, high definition, and we could literally follow the professor's and surgeon's incision during that process at a live patient. This is just the start of what I can foresee of typical healthcare applications which are going to be enabled through 5G. Back when I was still at my previous company at Ericsson back in 2014, we were dreaming up remote surgeries. I don't know, Steve, would you be excited about getting a remote surgery right now done on over a 5G base station? I think it's probably a bit too early yet, but with new robotics and new capabilities, never say never. I think it may happen over the next few years, 5 years.
For those listening within enterprises rather than the telcos, what are the questions they need to be asking of their telcos in terms of, have the telcos got the right infrastructure? How do they know if they've got the right infrastructure, and what are they looking for?
What I would be looking for is, like here in the UK, I would go to my mobile operator. I would look through the list of various services they offer. Some of the services I see right now, very often really in Asia, is some of the smart manufacturing, smart asset tracking, even a private enterprise cloud service or some kind of new IoT services. When you look at these services, what's important is really SLAs. So can they guarantee these services different would do today? Because operators were already over 4G and so on, and for the last decade trying to offer services, but at the end, it wasn't really their home turf. Now it's changing. The operators are really becoming a partner to the enterprise. The service providers will now go out and offer this smorgasbord of different services. And what I would ask is, number one, okay, can I consume this service? Is it cost effective? What's my ROI when I buy into this service? And then let's go back to ultra-reliable low-latency communication services. Okay, autonomous-driven cars or autonomous trucks and so on. There are use cases where trucks, for example, is working with the mobile operator already together today. What you would have to ask here is, now you can deliver me a service. But what happens if a cyber attack happens? Is my truck just going off the road with all my cargo I have on there, or with my containers? That's again where it comes back to what I said earlier, and I think there is one more really important point which we haven't discussed yet. Yes, we talked about low latency is really important in 5G. It's not just that we are going to have 1 gig to 10 gig of bandwidth and throughput, which is exciting for our augmented reality and virtual reality and so on, but again to this 1 to 3 millisecond of latency. And with these DDoS attacks, which nowadays you can buy for $50, $75, and you can create a multi-gigabit of DDoS attack. For ultra-reliable low-latency communication use cases, you need to be able to detect and mitigate one of those DDoS attacks within 1 to 3 milliseconds. Otherwise, that truck is gone. Today's DDoS solutions from legacy vendors, some of our competitors, takes them 10 seconds, 30 seconds, minutes, to detect and mitigate those DDoS attacks. By then, this truck is gone. So you need to apply literally new AI-based and machine learning algorithm solutions to really bring this down to the level of the latencies required for URLLC use cases. The DDoS attack could actually not just be just at the edge point. The DDoS attack could actually be straight into the truck, because what we do right now is what we see, and there are again some new use cases, and I hope I have the opportunity maybe over the next 3-4 months to be back with you and to share more about some of these developments, because there is some really, really cool stuff around vehicle to everything, V2X, where if you think about it in the automotive industry and the truck industry, every single processor and so on what you have in these trucks will have a sensor which we can connect to with the 5G network. From the radar what you have, or the GPS capabilities and so on, everything is going to be electronics. This is where a lot of the encryption and crypto technology is being developed to keep all these sensors protected. So it's not just even the edge. Yes, we need to protect the edge, but we need to also protect all the sensors in the automotive industry.
One of the takeouts from the survey was around 2/3 of the telcos are planning to replace their firewalls in the near future, the amount of time unspecified. That's a fairly big target market for you guys. Why should they look at A10? What's the USP of A10?
Why we are so excited about it is the survey obviously confirms what we had already been thinking, that our timing with the fastest, most scalable GI firewall and GDP firewall in the industry is excellent. We missed really the 4G timing, And now with 5G, the position is ideal for us. And we see this with the first design wins in Asia, Middle East, and going now further into Europe and North America. From a market perspective, it was this year around $350 million. And it will go up to $1 billion, what we can address. We are excited about it because we are literally the only one today who combine in this consolidated security stack. We are combining the, as you call it, traffic optimization, ADC. We are combining carrier-grade NAT, where we today have 250 telcos as our customers globally. We have the fastest carrier-grade NAT solution in the industry, which is IP version 4, IP version 6 conversion. As we know, IP version 4 endpoints will continue to be out there for a long, long time. So we need to do this conversion. We have application visibility, which is basically DPI, deep packet inspection, and we have the GI firewall as well as the GTP firewall, all consolidated in one stack. And that connections per second, concurrent connections per second, as I mentioned in the beginning, is so important. And this is on top of it, which is really cool and totally differentiated, is we have a full automation, what we call intelligent automation, where we use AI and machine learning capabilities to provide full visibility and automation for this security stack. And this is the main reason why we are invited to a lot of the proof of concepts today. We have a great partnership with Ericsson, NEC, Tech Mahindra, VMware, Red Hat, Lenovo, and others.
Thank you very much, Gunther.
Thank you.